We have any golfers here? Ex-golfers? People that like to pretend to play golf? People just like to play golf that aren't any good at golf? That's okay too.
This golf?
No. Real golf, Steve. Guys only, ladies forbidden. They've run that, haven't they? Yes, they have. Maybe here's a little history lesson. I don't know if you knew this. One of golf's immortal moments came when a Scotchman demonstrated the new game to President Ulysses Grant. Carefully placing the ball on the tee, he took a mighty swing. The club hit the turf and scattered dirt all over the president's beard and the surrounding vicinity, while the ball placidly waited on the tee. Again, the Scotchman swung, and again, he missed. Our president waited patiently through 6 tries and then quietly stated, "There seems to be a fair amount of exercise in the game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." And then one more quote for you. Billy Sunday said, "More men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent." You remember last week we talked about, for those of you that were here, the sermon was titled "The Blame Game." Well, this morning I want to take you beyond the blame game, and we want to talk about stepping back into divine direction. God has created every one of you with purpose, and that's not cliche. He created you with purpose. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Again, I'm going to read that last quote. Just, "More men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent." If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 again this morning. We're going to look at the same text that we looked at last week. And you forgive me, I'll be praying for me that we get through this and it's clear and God is glorified in it. I woke up last night, I told Katie about 2:30, and I just couldn't go to sleep. And so all my notes changed, everything changed. I didn't want to wake anyone up in the house. We have guests sleeping on the couch. So I laid in bed and grabbed my phone, and I'm just putting notes into my phone at 2:30 this morning about everything that I was woke up thinking about. So, Lord, I pray for clarity and clear deliverance, delivery, in Jesus' name. All right, Genesis chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 19. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' And to the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So before we proceed forward, I just want you to know that in the coming months, in the coming days, there's going to be a more in-depth look, and a lot of this is going to come through Steve as we talk about purpose and direction, vision, and wanting to have a clear vision of the call of God, both within the church and as individuals in our part in fulfilling that call and what God has called us to. And this morning we're stepping into that. But before we go forward, we need to go backwards. We're just going to look briefly. Last week I want you to remember that we said that you are responsible for your actions. Despite the fact that both Adam and Eve blamed God for the situation, Adam blamed Eve, who God gave to him. Eve blamed the serpent, whom God created. And God was having none of it. He held them accountable for their actions. And not only did He hold them accountable, He did not change that which He had commanded them to do. They were still to take, now in a complicated manner, they were still going to have to labor in the field, but now there was going to be thorns and thistles. They were still called upon to fill the earth. But now there was going to be hardship during delivery. There was going to be pain and travail. Let's look briefly at Genesis chapter 1 and just get a little bit clearer picture of exactly what God had told them in regard to their role in the earth at that time. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verse 26 through 29. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. So again, we're going backwards a little bit. We're looking at what God had given to them, what God had called them to in subduing and taking dominion, and how they were to acquire their food that was necessary for life. We see that we said last week that you are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for your emotions. You are responsible for your words. And we said that, as we've talked about here before, that words are so important that what you're speaking can bring forth death and it can bring forth life. You can actually create self-fulfilling prophecies when you're speaking things that are lies. "I'll never be good enough. I'll never learn how to do this." You're speaking into existence a lie, and that's what you'll walk in. Don't speak those things. Speak the truth of God's Word. "God is not done with me yet. God has given me a mind. I can learn this. God quickened this material to me." When we're talking about purpose, we're talking about the fact that God has created us. And as that psalm was read, we're talking about being trees. Well, something that a tree does during its existence is it continues to grow. And if you were to chop it down, you see the years through the rings of the tree, that it's ever growing and showing signs of growth. You're not meant to stop growing till the day that you go to be with the Lord. He wants to continue to increase in you. He wants to continue to mature you. He wants to show you new things. He wants you continuing to be someone who is both subduing and taking dominion. Again, you're responsible for your actions. You're responsible for your emotions. You're responsible for your words. And you can't blame your wife. You can't blame your boss. You can't blame your church family. You take responsibility. You are able to respond in a correct manner because of the grace of God in your life. Closing last week, we focused on the one person you can always change with the help of God. And that one person was you. We're going to go a little different direction this morning because I want you to see that when we talk about purpose or divine direction, this is not something that you choose. It's something that God has placed on you. When He created Adam and Eve, He placed on them divine direction. He gave to them what they were to walk in. There were choices that they were going to be allowed to make, but their purpose for being was already given to them by God. And yours has already been given to you by God. The question is, and this is what so many people fight against, is it not? It's what we fought against before we repented, is thinking that God was wanting to withhold good from us. But that if we could just go our own way, we could have everything that life offers and the things that we know would truly make us happy. Which in the end, doesn't bring any life, but it brings death. I read that in a British cemetery, this was an inscription written. It said, "Pause, my friend, as you walk by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am, not so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me." And coming by, a visitor added to that line, "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went. Destiny is determined not by chances, but by choices." But just reiterating, what are you not responsible for? Your purpose. You're responsible to walk in that, but it's God who gives it. Your responsibility is to seek Him, to draw close to Him. There are so many people that go through life trying to find life's purpose, but the only way to find it is in Christ. You can look anywhere else, in any other corner, under any other rock, and chase any other avenue, but until you submit to Jesus, you will not find your purpose. Everyone created by God, and more specifically this morning, everyone born of God in Christ Jesus has been given what I'm going to call this morning divine direction. We will break up divine direction in three parts this morning. Divine dominion, divine duty, that's duty, D-U-T-Y, and not to be confused with duty, D-O-O-D-Y, and divine dependency, divine direction. You know, I told Katie this morning, as soon as these thoughts were coming real late last night, I was looking for ways to express this, and there was just a plethora of quotes and things about purpose, and y'all forgive me I really tried to weed them out. There was just so many good ones. In 1963, the University Christian Church in New York put this sign on their door, "Gone out of business," because we didn't know what our business was. I think there's a lot of people walking around today in the church like that. They really don't know what the business of the church is. They hung that on the door, gone out of business, didn't know what our business was. Let's talk about divine dominion for a moment. Imagine people going to work day after day without knowing their company's business. Yet that's exactly what happens when members of the church don't know what the church is meant to do. Fanaticism consists in redoubling your efforts when you have forgotten your aim. People start getting frantic and doing all sorts of things, but with no aim because they don't really know what they're about. We've got all kinds of energy behind what we're doing, even though what we're doing is of no real consequence, of no real effect. And when I thought about dominion, a quote from John Wesley came to me that stuck with me because it's so broad but yet so condensed, and I think it just encompasses so much of exactly what the church is and what we're to be when God calls the church to continue to take dominion. John Wesley said this, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field." That's a broad vision, but it's one that really covers all the bases. I'm going to read it again. John Wesley said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. Steve and I were talking the other day, and this will be part of, I think Steve will probably go in a whole lot more depth. But when you look around you and you think about the church, and I was guilty of this when I was around 21, 22 years old in Christ, and I remember actually sitting on a sidewalk with a young lady next to me, and I was just talking about how, though I know that it's not wrong to anticipate and desire the return of the Lord, I desired it in an unhealthy manner. I was ready to just sit on the couch or to sit on the curb, literally, and just wait for His return and not take any action. But that's an affront to God. He has called us to a work. He's called us to a people. He's called us to a place. He's given us a mission, a purpose. We've been called, just as Adam and Eve were commissioned, to take dominion. There is a real kingdom that exists. There is a kingdom coming, and there is a kingdom that now is. And our job as ambassadors of that kingdom is to take dominion on that kingdom's behalf. It begins in our persons, it then extends to our homes, it then extends to our neighborhoods, our workplaces. It begins every place that our foot touches. We've been called to take dominion. And it's a divine dominion mandate. All of Christ, we're to desire all of Christ in our lives. We're to desire all of His Word in our lives. We're to want to seek out and try to be at peace and in fellowship with all His children to the extent that we're able. And we're to see all the world as our mission field. And again, we're not going super deep with that. I just want you to see that today it is not our place in Christ to sit on our hinds on the couch. Our place in Christ is to take dominion, to subdue the earth, He says. And you'll recognize that there's a lot of people that have perverted this message, and not just in the world and in the church. In the world, that everyone wants to make us like unto the rest of creation, when it says very specifically, and we just read it, that we were made in the image of God. And yet we were to have dominion and authority over all the animals, over all the plants, that we have the ability to reason and to imagine and to create with our minds, because God has made us so. He's made us creative. And yet there are those that would want to pervert that. And we talked about this some sermons back when we talked about there's a spirit of the age out there that wants to have you believe that all of the plants and the animals and we ourselves are one. And God is one. He's some mysterious force, right? And that's where you get all these different sexual perversions. Because if we're all just one, then what is male? What is female? What is inanimate? What are these things? But God has created things of order. And there's an authority that exists. But I want you to see within divine dominion, you have what I'm going to call this morning a divine duty. This is what is unique to you in the mission of taking dominion. That we all play different roles. There is a certain story involving Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at the time was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. The teams were playing in the World Series, and as usual, Yogi was keeping up his ceaseless chatter, intended to pep up his teammates on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other. As Aaron came to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so that you can read the trademark." Aaron didn't say anything. But when the next pitch came, he hit the ball into the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tapping up at home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come up here to read." What I want you to see when I talk about divine duty this morning is that both within your life and in specific seasons, there are different directives that God is going to give you. And to try to be bouncing all over the place doing other things is not honoring to God. That you've been called to be faithful with where He's placed you and the job that He's placed you with. Both within your home, within your church, within your business. That He has called you to focus on the task at hand. Hank Aaron's up to bat, despite the distractions, despite the fact that God ordained that there would be thorns and thistles and things that would try to impede on you making forward progress, God is not giving us any excuses, right? He's saying, I know there's thorns and thistles. I placed them there. I know there's neighbors that are contrary and hard to work with. I placed them there. I know that there are all these things going on, but guess what? I've still given you a task to do. And you got to be like Hank Aaron. I didn't come up here to read. I came up here to bat. And I'm going to do my job. I'm going to go to bat. And I'm going to succeed because God is with me. Again, when I talk about divine duty this morning, I mean specifically what God has called you into the broader call of dominion. Though Adam had the broad command to take dominion over all the earth, it began with what? His duty to tend the garden. He's being commissioned with a broad vision, a broad mission. Through you and Eve and your descendants and your children, I want to see dominion and you subduing the entire earth. But it began where they had immediate influence, and that was in the garden. God is only asking you to be obedient and walk in where He has you now, that you have an influence, and there's a circle of influence that you have in your life. Be faithful within that circle of influence in doing the things that God has called you to. God has called us to preach the gospel to every creature, but guess what? It would be unrealistic to imagine that my voice would go out and reach every single person in all the earth. But it will reach those that He's called me to if I'm faithful and obedient to walk in that. He has given me a circle of influence. He has put people in my life. He has put people in your life. Again, dominion is the aim. Duty is our part in the dominion. What has God called you to? Where is your sphere of influence? What role are you being called upon to act in today? Adam may have been a gardener, but the moment the serpent stepped on the scene, he should have been protector. I ain't here to eat no fruit. I'm here to cut your head off, is what he should have said. But he had lost sight of the divine directive to take dominion. He lost sight of it. And we don't know how many days, how many weeks, how many months they had existed in the garden before this scene arose. We just know that it arose. And at some point, Adam had lost sight of the fact that he and Eve had been given dominion. No one else had authority. They had God-given authority to take dominion over every creature of the earth. And here comes the serpent, and they abdicated that authority, lost sight of the dominion that was theirs, and gave it up to a lying, weaselly snake, which Scripture later calls a worm. But yet we do this all the time. And we have the victory of Christ in our life, that Satan has no authority in our lives. None. And yet we give him authority all the time. Again, by the things we speak, the emotions we give place to, rather than taking authority over them. We have to keep the high call of dominion in view when we talk about duty. Men can get caught up chasing all kinds of things: wealth, pleasure, power, affirmation, on and on and on and on and on, seeking our satisfaction and wanting to find our identity in how others perceive us rather than seeing how God already perceives us. Let me tell you, and please hear this, nothing of the earth ultimately satisfies. Everything of the earth is meant to be brought to submission to the glory of God. Everything that is earthy was meant to serve us, not us serve it. But that's exactly what happens when we turn away from God, as we begin to serve the created and the creature rather than serving the Creator. And I want you to hear this, and this speaks to me, and I know that you've heard it before, but it just spoke to me afresh as I prepared this. Solomon, who had it all, anything that can be obtained under the sun by man, Solomon obtained it. Do you understand that? Any amount of wealth, none of us in this room will ever have the material wealth that Solomon had. None of us, Scripture says, will ever be as wise as Solomon was. It's not going to happen. God has set it in place that there were none before and there shall be none after, apart from Jesus Christ Himself, who were as wise as Solomon. He had wealth, he had fame, he had pleasure. He had all the women he could want. Well, the number slips my mind, but wives and concubines combined, what is it, like 1,000? And you know that he could have had more at the snap of a finger. It wouldn't have taken anything. And yet, this is what he said after looking back on it all. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. And yet we know he kind of comes to, because the end of the matter is, but all everything that I've done unto God, if I fear God and walk with Him, that's the important matter. That if we're laboring unto God, what does Jesus say? That rust and moth cannot take away what we've done in the name of Christ. But anything that you do to seek out your own glory in this earth, it will perish. And yet men continue to pursue and follow that same trap over and over and over and over and over. And yet the wisest man that ever lived has already tried to say something to them. Listen to the preacher, he says. And he tries to tell them, and yet it falls on stopped up ears because no one wants to hear it. So we continue going down that same old path again and again and again and again. We misplace our duty, seeing our duty as to satisfy self and build our kingdoms rather than seeing the greater dominion mandate that God has called us to. Your duty is to take dominion in a manner that causes creation to be subservient and glorify God in a manner that is worthy of Him. So I say all that to say you must not forget why you're here. And then divine dependency. A lady named Lady Kouros said, "Since God has put His work into your weak hands, look not for long ease here. You must feel the full weight of your calling, a weak man with a strong God." Weak people serving a strong God. I know I'm weak. But I want to be careful in even presenting that, because I know that there are other Christians, and this is in the utmost respect as I say this, that continue to put too much emphasis on the old man. That we walk into the building Sunday morning declaring that everyone came in here dirty and filthy, and I think, what did Christ do? I thought I'm a new creature. Why I still got to be dirty and filthy? I thought I'm new, right? You're a new creature. Though that new creature sometimes has a hard time still not letting the old man poke his head out, right? And you got to say, get down, you're weak. I'm going to lean into my God who is strong, who is mighty. We will ever be dependent on our Lord. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life." And that's speaking to me, that's speaking to you, and have it to the full. John 10:10, life is not found in the living, but in the living one. Where do we find life? Do we find life and purpose in trying to pursue life, or do we find life in pursuing Jesus who is life? It's in pursuing Jesus, the person of Jesus. We talked in our Bible study this morning. It's more than life itself is found in the man Jesus. When we find relationship, right relationship with Jesus, we find life, we find meaning, we find purpose, we find hope, we find love, we find fulfillment. We find all the things that are necessary to not wake up one day and think, what have I done with my life? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says this, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." He's given us all things that pertain to this life and godliness. Everything that we need to walk in this life in Him and succeed at that and do that which He's called us to do, He's given us in Christ. "Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Again, just there's a lot of preachers preaching, and they're not preaching that we've escaped through the corruption. They're preaching that we're still slaves to it, and we are not slaves to corruption. But that doesn't mean we're not dependent on Him. We're dependent on Him, and that's why we're no longer slaves to corruption. Philippians 3:10 says, and this is Paul speaking of his own need of Christ and what he wants in this life, and this is what he says, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." We are divinely dependent upon Jesus. We are independently dependent that He has created in us a new person who can now walk in the life that He's called us to walk that we could not have walked in otherwise. And yet in this life, in this new creation, it's a creation that is absolutely dependent upon Him. To try to step outside of Him and continue in this life, you'll begin to wither up and die like that. He says that in order to do the things that He's called us to do and have the life He's called us to, we have to stay connected to Him. Why do ministries dry up and grow cold? Why do people fizzle out and feel burnt up? Because they began to serve the creature rather than serving the Creator. That if that relationship, if you don't recognize your dependency upon Him and stay connected to Him, ministry will become quite burdensome. The mission that you've been called to will become quite burdensome rather than liberating as you're doing it with Jesus, who's yoked together with you. You're divinely dependent upon Him. I just want to close with this statement this morning. You are partaker of a divine dominion mandate. You have a divinely appointed duty, each one of you here. And it's your job to seek the Lord and find out all the things that He's called you to. I know that each one of you play different roles, whether it's grandparent or parent or child or sibling or son-in-law to a father-in-law. Whatever your role, we all have different roles, whether it's employee or employer. Or it's to do it to the end that Jesus Christ is glorified in every relationship that He's called us to, and that we're faithful in these things. He's not called you to be exactly like me any more than He's called me to be exactly like Michael. He's called you to be you in Christ Jesus and to seek Him out and to walk with Him. And when you do that, you'll find yourself walking in the very things that He has always intended for you to walk in. You are to depend on God and look to and seek Him in order that you can fulfill all that He has called you to. And before I close in prayer, as I said, in the coming months, days, we'll see as we're taken deeper into the context of the church as a whole, what it means for us as individuals to come into this thing supplying everything that God has intended for us as individual members of the body of Christ to be supplying. This is in no way... church life is not a spectator life. It's an involved life. It's an engaged life. It's a bringing to the table the things that God has put in you life. And without it, the church is missing something, because you are unique. Despite how many other people may smell a little bit like you, walk a little bit like you, and talk a little bit like you, God created you and He loves you, and He's called you to the table to participate and provide. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word, Your provision. Lord, we thank You for the task that You've given us, Lord, that we're allowed to partake in this divine dominion mandate, Lord. Life is a gift from You. And I just pray that we would receive it as such, Lord, and not turn away from it, not balk at it, Lord, but delight in it. Delight in You. Delight walking with You. Delight in all the things that You've called us to, Lord. Whether it's a season of exaltation and being lifted up, Lord, or being blessed, or whether it's a season, Lord, where we're being persecuted and sped upon, Lord, that in all of it, we would look at You and delight in You and walk in faithfulness in whatever season, in whatever capacity we're serving at that time in our lives in, Lord. And I just pray that each one of us continue to increase in You and be purposed in our endeavors, Lord, purposed with our time, purpose with our energy, purpose with our thoughts, purpose with our actions, purpose, Lord, even in our emotions, Lord, and not they're not sinful, Lord, but that we would be able to lead according to Your truth our emotions, Father. I just pray that we would be a purposed people seeking our role in You within the kingdom, Father, and in every other area of our life. I just bless You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.